We're going to be in John once again tonight. We're going to backtrack and say a few things about Judas Iscariot tonight from John. Didn't have time to really get into that this morning, but I want to sort of backtrack and say a few things about Judas Iscariot tonight in application to what we have in the church today. Let's pray and open the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for being able to come together, to be together, to laugh together, to share with one another. And it is good to be in the house of the Lord, good to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. No place I would rather be tonight. And I thank you for the health and the privilege to be here. And I pray, God, as we meet here for a few minutes tonight, that you would help us to open your word, for it to go forth with power from the pulpit, that you would give your people ears to hear. And God, we would be helped by hearing your word here tonight. Help us to examine ourselves to make sure we are in the faith. Help us not to be self-deceived. Help us to make sure we are believing in the right thing and believing in the right person, and that our salvation is based upon the work of Christ alone. Lead us, guide us, and direct us tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. John 12, let's back up to verse number 3 and read verses 3, 4, and 5, and 6 that we dealt with this morning in a different way. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence a year's wages and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, or had the treasury bag for the ministry of Christ and his disciples, and bear what was put therein. And that's God's word, and all God's people said. Amen. I was studying John 12, 1 through 9 that we dealt with this morning, 1 through 8. Plus I was reading A.B. Bruce's The Training of the Twelve for Sunday School, in which we dealt with Judas Iscariot this morning in Sunday school. And I thought maybe I needed to take a few extra minutes tonight's sermon, look at what the Bible says concerning Judas. Brother Shane taught this morning on Judas, did a wonderful job. It was indeed a joy for me to sit and learn as he opened the scriptures and talked to us this morning. But all of you weren't in that class this morning, so I want to share some things tonight about Judas that I hope will be helpful to us. Judas Iscariot was someone who said one thing and meant another. He acted one way while he completely was void of spiritual life. Judas Iscariot was a fake believer. He was a hypocrite. He becomes an apostate. Matthew Henry said, quote, "It is possible," listen to what he says, "it is possible to be the worst of men and hide behind the best of professions," close quote. That's true. That's Judas. It is possible to be the very worst of men and hide behind the best of professions. What I want to do tonight is share with you four lessons that we learned from Judas Iscariot. It's four things that I wrote down as I was working through this that I thought may be helpful in this service tonight. Because I don't think Judas is an isolated incident, do you? I understand Judas was, as was said in Sunday school this morning by someone, I think it was Gail, I think we asked the question, is it not in its simplest form, Judas Iscariot was chosen by God to fulfill a redemptive purpose? And yes, but I don't think Judas was isolated in his apostasy or in his hypocrisy. So let me share with you four things tonight that we learn from Judas. Number one, the ease in which spiritual fraud remains undetected. The ease in which spiritual fraud can remain undetected. Now you have to remember something. Judas was with Jesus and with the other disciples for 3 years. And the other disciples had no doubt voted to put him in charge of the finances of the ministry. So, in order for this to happen, I think Judas had to appear externally to be faithful, to be reliable, to be honest, and to be devoted. And probably to be more pious than the other disciples if they voted for him to be the treasurer. They trusted him with the money bag, right? They had all been together. They all ate together. They traveled together. They talked among each other. They ministered with one another. They slept in the same house, and they all traveled together. If anyone knew Judas, it would be his fellow disciples. Say amen. Because they were in very close and intimate quarters. And in the 3 years of being with each other, day after day, when Jesus says one of them is going to betray him, not one single one of the other disciples suspected that it was Judas. None of them thought that the betrayer might very well be Judas. Not one of them pointed the finger toward Judas and said, if anybody's going to be a betrayer, it has to be Judas. Not one of them. After 3 years of being together. You would think there would have been something that may have caused them to doubt, something that may have triggered a little bit of suspicion in their hearts. It doesn't seem like there's any. Apparently, he had his morning devotions. Apparently, he prayed over his meals. Apparently, he did everything that was expected for him to do religiously. Outwardly, he walked the walk and he talked the talk. There doesn't seem to be one single external proof that Jesus was not real. But what we know is, while he was correct on the outside, in his heart he had no love for Jesus. He had no affections for Christ. And he had no love for the other disciples. There was nothing externally evident to hint about the emptiness of his own heart. Matter of fact, when told that one of them would be the betrayer, all of the disciples except for Judas suspected themselves before they did him. They didn't say, is it Judas? They said what? Is it me? Is it I? But what I'm trying to say is this. Judas was a devil from the beginning, according to God. Judas was chosen for this very betrayal so that he may fulfill Scripture. But he hid his hypocrisy well. And it seems to me that it may be an easy thing to hide for a while. It seems it may be easy to put on a spiritual mask and to put on a spiritual show. As I said, Judas was a devil from the beginning, and the only one who knew that was true was Jesus. And Jesus knew, not from outward appearances, Jesus knew because he sees the heart. Are you with me? We have to admit that you and I can be easily fooled concerning people's spiritual condition. Say amen. And it's easy for people to fake it. It's easy to talk right and do right. So one thing that we can learn here is that it seems, anyway, for a period of time, there is ease in which spiritual fraud can remain undetected, especially those of us in the church who only see one another for an hour, three times a week. We see each other at our best, not at our worst. Say amen. But we have to leave those things up to God who sees the heart and not us who just sees the outside. Amen? Because we may look at somebody and say, if there's anyone saved, they're saved. Or we might say, if anyone's lost, it's them, and be wrong on both counts. I remember a lady in my church in Virginia. I would have told Denise, if there's anyone in our church that I think is truly saved, it would be this woman. And then we had a revival and she got saved and blew my mind. Say amen. I thought she was saved, but she wasn't. Because she did everything externally what I could see right. But you can do right and not come from the heart. Say amen. Number two, not only do we see here the ease in which spiritual fraud can remain undetected, secondly, in Judas, we see the example of false belief that proves this is a reality. Now, the Gospel of John, as we have gone through it on Sunday mornings, has consistently and constantly shown us and contrasted for us true believers and false believers. There are those who were said to believe who truly did believe. There are those who are said to believe that really didn't believe. And John has been very good at showing us both sides. He has shown us true, genuine faith, and he has shown us superficial faith. But we don't know the names of any of those. Right? It's sort of been a group that says they believe, but they really didn't believe. Now we have a concrete example of false faith. His name is Judas Iscariot. And he is an example of the truth that hypocrisy is a real thing. Do not think that Judas is a myth or Judas is something that is abnormal. Judas is the example that hypocrisy is alive and well in the church. Judas is the poster boy for false belief. And if you want to see what false belief really looks like, just look at Judas. Judas hid and covered his covetousness and his hatred for Christ under the cloak of religious words and religious deeds. Somebody say amen. What hid his heart from sight were his words and his deeds. And all the time, he remains unconverted and unconvinced that Jesus Christ is the Lord. So Judas is the example of the very thing that John has been warning us about the entire first 12 chapters of the book, the Gospel of John. So do not think hypocrisy does not exist, and do not think hypocrisy cannot exist here at Lakeview. Do not think it is some obscure thing. It is real, and it makes up a fairly large section of the church. Say amen. Judas sat and listened. Imagine this. Judas sat and listened to Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus addresses the issue of the heart. I ask myself today, how many messages do you think Judas actually heard coming from the lips of Jesus Christ, where he mentions greed, the love of money, giving, heaven, hell? How many invitations do you think Judas heard where Christ commanded people to come and repent and be saved? How many times do you think he heard from the lips of Jesus Christ the offer for forgiveness of sins, the offer of eternal life, the realities of heaven, the reality of hell and judgment to come? How many times do you think Judas heard that? How many miracles did Judas see? John says there were so many works of Christ that they would fill up a library. How many things did Judas see Jesus do? Well, we know he saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. We know he saw Jesus walk on water. We know he saw Jesus calm the sea. We know he saw Jesus raise the dead, cast out demons, cause the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the feeding of the 5,000, and many more. So Judas saw it all, and then he's given the office of a disciple and given the responsibility of being the treasurer. He had heard it all. He had it all. He saw it all. And it did not move his heart one inch toward God. Can I say something here? Position and office and privileges cannot convert anyone to the Lord. He heard it all. He saw it all. And he remained just as hard as someone who had never seen or heard anything of Christ. That is, my friend, the scary power of hypocrisy. People who think they are saved when they are actually not are in grave danger. You can hide behind a false profession. You can hide behind good words and good deeds. But I'm here to tell you tonight, they will not save you. They will not help you. You must repent and believe upon Christ as well. All hypocrisy will do is send you to an eternal damnation. Number three. The ease at which spiritual fraud remains undetected. The example of false belief that proves that hypocrisy is a reality. Number three, the effects of covetousness are dangerous. I tried to think if there was a better picture of what the love of money does than Jesus. Maybe the rich young ruler. But Judas gives us a clear picture of what the love of money does. I think, the reason Judas joins Jesus' group of disciples is for what he will gain from it. I mean, he's a Jew, he thinks that if Jesus is the Messiah, he's going to set up an immediate earthly kingdom, and he, as one of the disciples, will reign with him. And in this new kingdom, maybe, Judas will be the treasurer. Somebody help me. And being the treasurer of an entire kingdom of people, that would be very attractive to a thief. I mean, it's one thing to skim off the offerings of a small ministry that Jesus is running, but if you're talking about a kingdom, how much can you skim off of that? Judas, we find out from John, had been skimming money out of the treasury for his own pleasure. I wonder, in 3 years, how much money Judas actually took from the bag for his own use. Somebody had to do some accounting, right? To figure out, because they didn't think Judas was a thief, but later they find out he was a thief. Wonder how much money he took from that bag, and then can you imagine how much he could skim from a whole kingdom as a treasurer? In the end, was it not a love for money that caused him to betray the very one who had been so kind and gracious to him? He would not only betray Jesus, but he would also betray all the men that he had ministered with for 3 years. He was willing to betray Jesus and every person that he had an intimate relationship with for the past 3 years for the love of money. So that tells me there was no bond in Judas that was so great that it couldn't be broken for cash. A covetous heart blinds the person to the very value, true value of things. Because is it not true the things that are really valuable are things money can't buy? But those who are covetous, those who have a covetous heart, can't see that at all. All they can see is money. All they see in everything and everyone is how much they can gain from that or from them. A love of money blinded Judas to the very value of Christ. You don't betray someone who you think is valuable. You don't turn your back on a relationship that you think is valuable. All Judas could see was the money that was being wasted. As every drop of that ointment falls to the feet of Christ, they could have sold it. He sees wasted money instead of seeing the extreme value of Jesus Christ. What caused that blindness? How does Mary see the value of Christ and Judas doesn't? Of course, we understand it's regeneration, it's the Spirit of God. But humanly speaking, it was Judas's love for money. He saw the value in the ointment and didn't see the value in Christ. Judas could not see what was truly valuable because the love of money had blinded him to it. Judas only cared how he could profit from Jesus and from the other disciples. He really didn't care about them at all. And we have to be careful, don't we? Nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money that's the problem. We have to be careful that love for money doesn't blind us to what is truly, truly valuable. Say amen. I know people who have had a love for money, so they've worked all their lives at the expense of their marriage and at the expense of a relationship with their children. Love for money blinded them to what was truly valuable. And they only saw the value of that when it was gone. Say amen. Amen. Don't work your life away, failing to see what is truly valuable. And the most valuable thing is Christ. Say amen. Number four, and we're done. The environment of an evil heart is in good intentions. Now you understand that Judas doesn't just come out and admit that he's a thief. He doesn't just come out and admit that he's been stealing from the bag. He doesn't come out and say that he was hoping the ointment could be sold so that he could take the money for himself. He doesn't say that. Right? That's his heart, right? Instead, he puts up this lame excuse about concern for the poor. He makes out like this has nothing to do with him. It's all about the poor. It's not for his good, but it's for the good of others. Are you listening? And what he's doing, he's hiding his thieving heart under the mask of helping the poor. And if John doesn't point out this, maybe we miss it. Maybe we're arguing tonight like liberals argue whether Judas was a betrayer or a friend of Jesus. That's a book you can get. Judas, friend or betrayer. But John does tell us, doesn't he? He wasn't concerned about the poor. He was concerned about that money getting in the bag so it could get in his pocket. So he's hiding his thieving heart under the mask of helping the poor. And his words that he says to Christ or the other disciples are all lies. He's not being truthful. You know what I can't stand? I can't stand a liar or a thief. Judas is both of them. Say amen. And you understand the old saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. What could be accomplished for good with that money? And it has been wasted. It has been wasted on this foolish act of a foolish woman worshiping Christ. Evil hearts hide behind good intentions. And the idea of worshiping, the idea of honoring Jesus, glorifying Christ with service and worship, is not what evil hearts desire, no matter what they say. As I said this morning, people think the church has been put into the world to solve the physical needs of the world. People think the church waste its time gathering together and worshiping God when it could be spending time out doing good deeds because people need help. So instead of wasting time worshiping God, you ought to be outside doing something to help somebody. The church doesn't need to gather, worship God, spend all of its time magnifying God. It needs to be out there doing good deeds. You see, evil hearts would rather sell the ointment with the intent on helping the poor rather than pour it all out on the feet of Jesus. Get out of worship, get into the highways and hedges and help people is what they think. And those hearts have no love for Jesus. They have no value for Jesus, have no desire to worship Christ. They vocalize good intentions, but they see worship as a waste when you could be doing other things with the money especially when you can gain something from it. And you guys know people too. It's all about doing, right? It's all about reaching people and meeting physical needs. And this is a waste of time to come into church and worship and gather. Praise God. That's a waste of time. Instead of meeting on Sunday nights, you need to be going out and taking pies or taking food to somebody. I'd quote him this passage. Say amen. Where's your heart? Why is your heart not on worshiping and praising God? That's the most important thing, is it not? Amen? So four things we learn from Judas Iscariot. We learn the ease in which spiritual fraud remains undetected. It can be hid very well. External things can look good and act good, and the heart be black as black. The example of false belief given to us in Judas Iscariot proves that this hypocrisy is indeed a reality. The effects of covetousness are dangerous because it blinds us to the things that are truly valuable, and the environment of an evil heart is good intentions instead of worshiping God. I had this, I don't know if this is a good illustration or not. I had a woman one time come to open house at school, and we were, you know, when you come to open house, you talk about your kid and talk about what, you know, needs your kids have and what, you know, things like that for teachers. And anyway, the woman asked me, do you have any meetings for the parents in which the parents can get together and cook out and have fellowship together? I said, no, we don't have any of that. Well, do you have any sort of PTA, something where parents can get together and come in and, you know, help you decide things? I said, no, we don't have that either. Problem was, her kid can't pick out a noun from a verb. That's what she should have been talking about. Instead of social gathering, say amen. Does that make sense? Focused on something that is not the most important thing. Say amen. Not saying social things aren't important, but her child being able to figure out what a noun is from a verb, that's pretty important. Say amen. And you might say it's not important, but if you're going to read the Bible and study the Bible, it's really important. So, good intentions trying to hide a heart that's not concerned about what's truly important. So what do? We examine ourselves, make sure that we are not Judas. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. We pray that we would examine ourselves to make sure we are in the faith, that we're not blinded to what is truly valuable. We're not distracted by intents that will hide the reality of our hearts that don't desire to worship and glory in God. God, the contrast here is evident. Help us to be like Mary and not like Judas. Because those two are very, very different. So lead us and guide us and direct us into these truths. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake, amen.